Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Elster.
I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime.
So today we thought we'd talk about how to hold it together during stressful personal times at work. How do you go to work when you're going through something really tough? And that could be a divorce, maybe the death of a parent, maybe the death or the illness of a child, maybe your own illness. Maybe you're going through something very challenging.
Yeah.
How do you hold it together and not... let that affect your work.
Right.
And we all have it because our work life expands our adult life.
Yes.
So it's not like you're going to wait until you retire for all of your life to happen. It's going to happen on a daily basis. So how do you hold it together? Not many people can't, you know.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I think that's a really good point just as a starter is I think part of holding it together is really trying to become realistic about how much you can hold together. You know, that there are times, there may be times where a personal stressor requires taking some time off from work, or that you work fewer hours, or that you work more from home, you know, if you've got a specific thing that really needs your attention. What I was thinking is, and what I've seen so often for my clients is that often the response to being under stress is actually to work harder and to push harder.
Push through.
Yeah, to literally just exhaust yourself instead of slowing down. Because, one, work can feel like a safe haven at least. You know, it's a place you can come to, you know what you have to do, and you can perform. But, two, it's a way to avoid sometimes dealing with the personal stressors. And so in some ways it can be misused that way.
As a distraction.
Yeah, and it could be a good distraction, but that when you use it to work too hard, what I've seen actually was someone lost a parent as an example, and so then went to work and just like totally... guns a-blazing, and then found that she was blowing up individuals at work. And it was basically unprocessed grief, right, that she hadn't taken the time to rest and to take some time off and to maybe find a grief group or do something that would have helped with that processing.
Yeah. I mean, I see it sometimes people just, you know, don't miss deadlines. They make big mistakes. And or they let people down. They let themselves down. Or they get super, super stressed because it's too stressful to deal with work and what's going on in their personal life. And then it all becomes just a big old mess. But whatever, you know, people process this differently. And we do know of a client right now who is just acting out a lot, and both of her parents are sick, so that's how she's handling it. So the first thing is I think you have to recognize it, because many people don't recognize that's what's happening. They just notice people leave the room, or, you know, or they just don't recognize it's happening. So hopefully somebody at work will tell you.
That you're off the rails?
Well, that you, you know, take some time or get some help. And it's always good to seek professional help. There are people, you know, you're not the first to go through this. So there's people out there that have experience dealing with whether it's grief or, you know,
chronic illness.
Lots of all of these things. There are people out there that can help with that, that are experts in how to cope. How to cope better.
That's what I jotted down a note to myself, just find support. And so, for example, I know of an individual whose husband got cancer, and she joined a cancer support group, and that was her lifeline, where she could go every week and talk about what's happening and then still go to work and, you know, attend to her work life. I was thinking if you have a child who has an addiction, which is unfortunately not uncommon now, or a family member or spouse, or you have one. There are 12-step groups, there are recovery groups, there are support groups for that, for family and friends of that type. So to your point, Kathy, to find some kind of a network that can buoy you during this time, I think is really important. And also another thing that you have said that I think is a great one, which is under duress, double your self-care.
Well, that was the next thing I was going to say. Yeah, this is the time you really have to be sure you're getting sleep and that you're eating right. You know, you're not excessive coffee or sugar during the day, but that because you're already, you know, your nerves are already at the end of their limits. So you want to make sure you take good care of yourself. You know, you don't have to go to every party after work. You know, you don't have to be social during a difficult time, but you know, you want to be able to do your work. You want to be able to do your job.
Right.
So you've got to take care of yourself to do that.
I also think it's good if you have at least one person who is a confidant who you can say, let's say there's an important event, but you just know you don't have the wherewithal to make it, say networking or social work related event, that you can just say, you know, I don't know that I can do this. And either they could accompany you so you feel that kind of support, or they could give you a pass and just say, you know, take the time, don't bother, and I'll speak on your behalf.
And there are certain times when you should tell your boss, because and not because you're looking for extra sympathy, but that just because, so that they're fully aware that there's something else going on in your life and that may be affecting you. And then your boss can at least be sensitive to maybe giving you extra time off or taking projects off your table. You know, that it could be supportive in the short run.
Right.
To, you know, let your boss know that this is going on.
Right. So it really starts with acknowledging oneself.
Yeah, that's the first thing.
You got to tell the truth to yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Logan, you work with a lot of people who are under stressful conditions, right?
Oh, yeah. And I, unfortunately, most of the time see them when they're already in their burnout kind of phase.
Right.
Most people won't come in kind of preemptively before things have gotten really bad.
That's
well, that's what happens at work too. People don't acknowledge it until they've done something stupid.
Right, right. Right. Until they've made a mistake, or until they wake up one morning and they literally can't move because they've not dealt with whatever happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I feel like most people will push.
Yeah.
Push or try to push through instead of dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
When it first arises.
All right, so we'll have to incorporate that. You're going to push yourself until you have to deal with it, probably. Maybe part of it, too, is knowing what your indicators are.
Right.
I mean, you have to just, everyone who's listening has to just know they're human, and that when terrible things happen in life, I mean, there's a handful of them. When they happen, you know, we experience death of a close family member or a close friend, we're suffering from an illness. I mean, there's a handful of things, elder care or sick child. These are very, very stressful times.
Yeah.
And you just have to take, you know, you have to be aware that you're going to have a reaction. You're not superhuman.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's probably most challenging, if you know yourself to be a competent person, or you think of yourself as a self-sufficient person, or you know yourself, think you're a very responsible person, and you probably are, is that these moments, part of what's required is to ask for help or ask for support and to admit that you may need some additional support. That can be, that seems to be the challenging thing from the onset.
I just think it's interesting because a lot of people will see that as weakness, saying that I'm going through a stressful time or whatever, and they won't.
Yeah.
They'll decide not to share because they don't want special treatment or to be seen differently or as less than.
That's a really good point, Logan. Also, that for some people, asking for help is a sign of weakness or vulnerability is, you know, you can't do that. And if you're, here's an interesting, here's a fun fact. If you're a judgmental person, you're going to be very judgmental towards yourself. So, it's going to be particularly challenging to allow yourself, you know.
The room.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Make room. Make room for the stress.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if anyone's out there suffering, let us know. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can give you some tips.
Yeah.
Send us an email.
That's great. Yeah. That's it for this My Crazy Office Overtime. Join us next time. In the meantime, we hope that your stress is minimal.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.